Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Deal Synagogue, our summer of Tavshin Samech Bet, better known as 2002. We plan to be here Be'ezat Hashem on Monday evenings at 9 o'clock. We hope you can attend live. It gives us encouragement. Pretty hard in the summertime, but commuting and all that stuff, but somehow people make it, and we appreciate it. Tonight's class is dedicated to all the sick and injured amongst Am Yisrael. Unfortunately, there are hundreds, if not thousands, right now that are injured, along with those that are ill. And we'd like to have, especially for the complete recovery of Rabbi Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam, for Aharon Chaim Ben Ruchama, and for Barbara Bat Adelaide. Hashem should send them and all others in Am Yisrael for Asherema. We're in the 3 weeks. Came very early this year, although this is the first class of the summer series. The 3 weeks has begun as we fasted last Thursday, and I thought, rather than talk specifically about the 3 weeks, I wanted to talk about the time period that we're living in. The time period we're living in is called Ekveta Dimshiha. The footsteps, the heels on the heels, hot on the heels. You know that expression in English, hot on the heels? Ekveta is Ekev, like Yaakov held on to the heel of Esav, and he was named Yaakov. Ekveta is the Aramaic way of saying the heel. We're in the footsteps of Mashiach. We're at a time in history where things are happening that if you put your ear to the ground, as they say, you'll probably hear Mashiach's footsteps. And I want to talk about that time period in history because we are the ones living in that time period. It's been written about for generations, but all the signs are there that we are the ones that have the true hope that He can come tomorrow morning. There's a famous Mishnah at the end of Masechet Sotah, and it says that Be'ikvita Dimsheha, at the end of days, when Mashiach's footsteps are going to be clearly heard, Chutzpah Yiskeh. Chutzpah, you know, Chutzpah. You all know what that means. The brazen behavior of a rude person is called Chutzpah. That will elevate itself. It will be very high. It will be very respected. As you know, the top paid TV entertainers on late night talk shows make their minions by insulting other famous people publicly. And people like it. And it's respected, and the more you insult, the more you get paid. And it's the same in a lot of public figures that at one time things that were looked askance and would ruin a career are the things that make a career. The outlandish behavior, chutzpah yiskeh. V'yoker yamir, and inflation, or money not having the value it used to have, well, I don't have to argue that point, do I? Used to go into the supermarket with 20 bucks and get out, and now with a few hundred, you don't even need anybody to carry your packages to the car. So it seems like money is not worth what it used to be. Hagefen ditempuya v'hayayim v'yoker. There'll be plenty of grapes, but wine will still be expensive, which is basically the same as saying there's really plenty of oil, but we're still paying $1.75 a gallon. Even though there's a lot, the supply and demand rule will be broken. The government, the sovereignty, will become minut. Minut is heresy. That means non-believers. It's not coincidental that this week the big debate in America is whether to leave the word God in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. And the government, courts, came out and said, you can't. That's minut, that's heresy. This is one nation under God, but we're not allowed to say it anymore. Well, for the time being, I hope. And I wanted to also bring current events when it says chutzpah yiskeh. I'm not only talking about the talk hosts. the fact that there could be a parade in Manhattan for all the perverts under the sun in one place, and the mayor must attend for political reasons, and they're espousing their normalcy when they're totally abnormal, and I don't mind that this is taped, is something that's chutzpah yisker. I'm not sick, I just don't live like you. And that, of course, fits every group that marches down Fifth Avenue lately. Bedvad yeliznut. The halls of government, the bedvad, will become halls of promiscuity. I'm using a nice word for what the ladies of the night do. That's what the Mishnah says. Do you need any more proof than the last 8 years of government from the president down? All the scandals? Here it's happening. This was written 1,500 years ago, 1,800 years ago. It tells you what it's going to be like now. And it goes on and it goes on and goes on. And I don't really want to go through each point because it's not really my main point. Ha'emet ne'ederet. There is no truth. I know some people, who can't understand why the Middle East problem is such a problem when it's so clear to them what the truth is. You have a terrorist personality, the number one terrorist on earth, claiming he's a chairman or a chief of state, and he wants to know why they're bombing him and picking on him, because really the terrorists and the fascists and the Nazis are the names being given to the Israelis and the Jews and the victims. Hello, where's the truth? Disappeared. The Mishnah says that's going to happen right before Mashiach comes. Ne'arim p'nei zekenim yalbinu. There's no more getting up on the bus to give an old lady a seat. It says here that the young ones will be brash and belittle and insult the elders. Zekenim ya'amdu mipenei kitanim. Instead of the young one getting up to give a seat to the old will stand in the face of the young. Ben menavel av, the son will despise his father. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's so much going on. And then at the end it says, ba'alma yeshlanu lehisha'in. And on what do we have to rely? Lishayin really means Mish'an is here tonight, Mr. Mish'an. It means to lean on. Somebody to lean on is a Mish'an. A Mish'an is the word in Hebrew for a cane. Something that we lean on is a Mish'an. Hashem is our Mish'an. We rely on Him. We say it in the prayers very often, that word, that we're relying on Him, we're counting on Him. So it says, who do we have to rely on in these days when everything is going haywire? And I left out half the list. Alavinu Shebashamayim. Our Father in Heaven. So, that's where I start tonight. I don't think we have to get too involved in proofs of what the Mishnah says would go on at this time of history, is going on, and I can get detailed, and that's a separate class that maybe I've given, and maybe somebody else has given, but it's not the class tonight, so it's not my point, so I don't want to really spend a lot of time on it. At the end of that Mishnah, there's a certain version of the Mishnayot in the Gemara that says a very famous other baraita. It's called the Baraita of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, and it's the basis of the famous book of ethics called Mesilat Yesharim. That there are steps to spiritual growth, and those steps are based on acquiring a certain trait and building on it. Going from watchfulness, I'm careful to stay away from bed, to alacrity, to doing things, to go from step to step. And it says that Torah mivi'ah lidei zehirut, Torah brings us to watchfulness, zehirut mivi'ah lidei zerizut, being careful brings us to alacrity, doing things with gusto. Zerizut comes to nikiyut, will make us clean in our midot, in our ways, we won't lie, we won't steal, we won't cheat, we won't have desire to do those things. And on, it goes up the ladder, and there's a basic question asked by Rabbi Mordechai Schwab. What is this Mishnah talking about? The previous part of the Gemara Mishnah just told us, even truth is going to disappear. And now you're giving me all these ideals to work on. What ideals? In the times of Mashiach, most of the basic ideals of the humankind that are positive, not going to be around. In fact, there's another place in the Gemara where it says that when this particular sage died, this trait died, and this trait died, and this trait died. And they go through all the positive traits and show the end of Anava was when Rabbi died. The end of the... And there's nothing left. We're living in really a generation that's an orphan generation. The values of our parents and grandparents and forefathers, we don't have. The country doesn't have it. They don't have it here. They don't have it in Israel. They don't have it. It's, if anything, it's an empty shell of what used to be. So let's go back and understand what I'm talking about. Because so far that's all intro. In the beginning of the Torah, which is a good place to start any class, in Bereshit, it says, Bereshit bara Elokim. Hashem created the heavens, the earth. But it doesn't use the word Hashem. It doesn't say the word we say when we pray Ador and then Nai. It says Elokim. And Elokim, Rashi tells us, is a different aspect of God. Elokim means strict justice. What's strict justice? Strict justice means, it says if you do something wrong on Shabbat in front of witnesses, you die. Maybe a lightning bolt will come down. You know, instant. Justice. And Hashem looked down, says Rashi. He started Techilat Machashavto, Alab Machashava, Leperato, B'midat Tadin. He saw, if I build a world and do it on strict justice, it ain't going to survive a week. We're not going to get to the first Shabbat. People just basically a week. They make a lot of mistakes. They're going to violate my will. And I'm going to have to destroy everything. So what did he do? Later the Pasuk says, Hashem Elokim. And the name Hashem, the Yud and the He, and then the Vav and the He that we spell in our Sidurim, that name stands for mercy. Rachamim. Rachamim is mercy. So he tempered the creation with some drops of mercy, and that helped us survive. But the true perfection of the universe, of creation, if I can use a bigger word than universe, of the creation, is for it to run strictly. Noach was the Ish Tzaddik. Noach was the Ish Tzaddik. But it says, Et Elokim Etalech Noach. He needed God to lean on. He couldn't walk by himself. He wasn't strong enough. Then it says, Avraham Avinu Haya Mitchazek Melebes Sidko Me'elav. He could walk by himself because he lived by strict justice. So we see the perfection of the universe, the perfection of creations, if things can run by justice. And really, Hashem, when it comes to the Tzaddikim, I know a few Tzaddikim, when it comes to Tzaddikim, He treats them with strict justice. Let me name a Tzaddik maybe everybody heard of. Rabbi Akiva, pretty famous rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the greatest sage from Moshe Rabbeinu until Akiva. In fact, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that neshama, when Hashem showed him all the neshamot that would follow him, he looked and he said, what is that neshama? You should give the Torah to him. Hashem told him, shtok, be quiet. Chlas, as we say. I have the plan. Don't tell me how to run the world. But really, he didn't say you're wrong. It was a very special neshama. And he became a great teacher with 24,000 students. And when the 24,000 students at a later age in life died, he didn't give up. He went out and found five new students. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, he found the greatest students he could find. And those five students saved the Torah that we know. Rabbi Akiva, so what's his reward? He gets arrested by the Roman government. And his skin is scraped with steel combs. Until his neshama leaves him saying, Shema Yisrael. The Malachim asked and the students asked the same question. What's going on here? That's what I planned. That's what has to be. Deen requires that that's the way Rabbi Akiva dies. You want me to explain? I can't explain it. But Hashem's answer is the world should run by Deen, and when I have a real Sadiq, who's perfect, he runs the way it would be if the world was perfect. He has to run by Din. So that particular level of perfection matches a whole generation. Can anybody guess which generation? The generation that received the Torah. The generation that received the Torah reached the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. The first man before he sinned was a very high level. Not a caveman like some would have you believe. He was the closest neshama to Hashem. He was created with the, so to speak, hand of God. Directly, not born of a woman. And he was very, very lofty spiritually. And the Jewish people at the time of Matan Torah reached the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. And that level is what I want to talk about tonight. Because all that intro is to tell you that what we had at Har Sinai is possible again. What we had at Har Sinai was Hashem talking to us directly. Could you imagine standing there on the morning of Shavuot and actually hearing Anochi, whatever it sounded like. You hear Hashem commanding you. You're communicating directly with God Himself. Hashem was the teacher of the Torah. And guess what? Daily you attest to that. You say a blessing. Baruch Ata Hashem Noten HaTorah. Now, those of you who are grammatically good know that if I want to say Hashem gave us the Torah, I would say Baruch Ata Hashem Natan Et HaTorah. Hashem gave in past tense the Torah. When I say Noten, I mean He is presently giving the Torah. And that's really what goes on every day. Hashem is Noten HaTorah. Because every day, every individual who sits to study Torah is sitting and studying with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is your Rebbe. You go to a class and you listen, it's not the teacher. You open a sefer and you read, it's not the book. When you're learning Torah, Hashem is talking to you. The problem is, we don't always feel it. But sometimes, and I can tell you, sometimes it happens. You sit and you learn, and you go over, and you read the same parasha, or the same halakha, or the same gemara, that you understood and you read and you did year in, year out. And suddenly, the simplest Jew can be mechadesh, can come up with what's called a chiddush. Hit me with a new one. I was learning today. I came up with this question. I think this is the answer. I checked it out with the rabbi. He said it's a valid interpretation of Pasuk. Maybe it's brought somewhere else. Maybe it's not, but it's valid. That's a chidush. Every Jew can come up with a chidush. You know why? Because he's sitting and learning with Hashem. So he has the assistance of the greatest teacher, who as he sits and studies, or as she sits and reads, can understand more than what would naturally, with your IQ and background education, go in and come out. It's an amazing thought. There was a famous mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I could say the last generation, maybe a generation and a half ago, but I know people who saw him live, so I guess it's the last generation. His name was Rabbeinu Yerucham, they called him. The mashgiach from Mir. He asked an amazing question. He says, the Mishnah tells us, In the times of Mashiach, it'll become so hopeless that the only one we'll be able to lean on, Ami Alein Lishayin, I said, the only one we would have would be Avinu Shebashamayim, Hashem. So he asks, and I quote, V'chi kodem ikveta dimshicha, and do you want to tell me that before the time of Mashiach, yesh halila mishu acher ami leishayin, that there's someone else or something else we can rely on? Halo gam mikodem en alishin alvishamayim, even before this generation, there was no one for anyone to lean on besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is this statement of the Mishnah that in the times of Mashiach we will have nobody else to rely on? And 500 years ago, did they have somebody to rely on other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And 1,000 years ago, did they have somebody to rely on other than and when they were standing with their backs to the sea and Paro was pursuing them, did they have anybody else to rely on besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's his question. And he answers, yes, there are other things we had to rely on. Because Hashem gave us other things to lean on. There was a time He gave us prophets. You could count on Shemuel HaNavi, or Eliyahu HaNavi, or Yeshayahu HaNavi. They could tell you what Hashem wanted. They could help you solve a problem. They could tell you clearly what you were doing wrong and what you had to do to correct it. Yes, you could rely on them. There was the Urim V'Tumim, the famous breastplate of the Kohen Gadol that had certain writings on parchment behind which would cause the letters to light up. And when the king himself had a question, David HaMelech, he would ask the Urim V'Tumim and get an answer. He could rely on the answer. There's the Sechel of a person, the Torah itself, that we could count on. And in fact, it's a mitzvah for us to count on the things that Hashem gave us to count on and to trust them, because they are the things Hashem gave us to help us serve Him better. And through them, you can imagine, could you imagine? Imagine, I'll give you a dumb example. We have a lady section over here. The woman is all upset. She doesn't know what color to paint her living room. She goes to the Navi, listen, I want to ask what color to paint my living room. I want to do what pleases Hashem. My husband likes yellow. I like blue. Meantime, really, in the end, we want to do what Hashem wants. Could you ask the Kohen? The Kohen comes out. He stands there and letters light up on his chest. The Navi says, okay, I want to know what color. And guess what? Beige. Like everybody else. It says, spells out beige. Now, why is that a positive? Because now when you paint the room beige, it's not because you like it. It's not because your husband or the decorator likes it. You're doing it because Hashem told you to do it. And it's really bringing you closer to what Hashem's will is. And you're connecting with Hashem with your beige walls. Not with the person who was marching Sunday on Fifth Avenue who told you to paint it beige. Big difference. So this Urim V'Tumim, when I count on it, and when I believe it, and I trust it, and I do it, I'm serving Hashem better. Who gave me that? Hashem. Why? In order to serve Him better. That's the depth of this Mish'an, this cane that Hashem gave us to lean on, and He gave us many of them. So what is the Mishnah telling us? A very sad fact. That Hashem gave us many, many things to count on. And many, many things to help us serve Him better. But in the days of Ikvetah Dimshicha, in these times, at the end of time, they will be lost. They will be forgotten. Can anybody tell me where the truth is today? Can anybody tell me where wisdom is today? Can anybody tell me where mishpat, justice, is today? Or go back to the list of what we do have today. Chutzpah and disrespect and lying and everything else that I read you in the Mishnah at the beginning of the class. The Mishnah is telling us that we're lost orphans of a generation with nothing to lean on. All the things Hashem gave us to use in His service and to get close to Him have been lost. They're bankrupt. Think of the institutions amongst the Goyim that are being belittled today. Their clergy and their government. Nothing sacred anymore. We used to laugh when an athlete was known for drugs or doing something wrong, because he was like an idol of everybody, and look what he is. And then they found out that the movie stars were no good. But the president and the clergy? That's Raymond Bader's banana theory of America. Maybe the banana? Eat bananas, right? They're on somebody's diet. Some diets like it, some diets don't. But people eat bananas. What's the problem with a banana? On the outside, the peel could look good, but when you pull back the peel, it could be rotten inside. And today, America is pulling back banana peel after banana peel, and there's no banana to eat. They're all rotten. Says the Mishnah, that's what you're looking for at the time of Mashiach. Nothing is sacred anymore, and you don't have the things to lean on that you used to have. And when I talk about them, the Akum, the Goyim, in ourselves, we have our institution suffering for many similar things. So what's left? The big secret. The big secret of class number one of this summer series. In spite of the fact that all of the things that Hashem gave us to help us serve Him better are gone, broke, busted, disgusted, bankrupt, as the Mishnah predicted 1500 to 1800 years ago, we shouldn't give up. Because we still have Avinu Shebashamayim. We still have God Himself. And the job of this generation, what does it mean, the Mishnah, when it says, Al mi yesh lanu lishayin, al avinu shebashamayim? Who can we lean on in these hard times? Our God in heaven? Our Father in heaven? It would have been better, maybe, and easier to relate to a breastplate that lights up. It would have been easy to relate to a Navi who takes oil and pours a little bit of oil and gets a jug and a jug and a jug. Maybe it would have been easier. But in these hard times, now that all is gone, we still shouldn't worry. We have to latch on and build up the one thing we have left. Emunah. Belief in God. Because that will never go away. Avinu Shebashamayim is forever. And it's something that will last forever. That He will not abandon us. Imo anochi besara. He comes with us in our troubles. He sticks by us. And we could always lean on Him in all generations, in all conditions, political, social, and otherwise. And that's what our rabbis and sages were telling us when they wrote that Mishnah. Now that we're lost and we have nothing left, and all the bridges that He gave us to connect to Him are broken, we're still not missing anything. We're missing zero. because we have our emunah to rely on. And through that emunah, that one thing that's left, we can reach the lofty levels. We can reach the lofty levels that people of earlier generations reached with all that they had. We have to believe, ani ma'amin, be'emunah shelema, with total faith, that we, in this lowly, spiritually poverty-stricken generation, and we are spiritually poverty-stricken. There's no street person who has less than us when it comes to the spirit. We can reach the highest levels, like the earlier days, because we still have Hashem to count on. Tell your story. Now the entertainment section of the class. That's the principal section. The entertainment section. Story time. The way we look at our sages, we have the Tannaim, the Emoraim of the Mishnah and the Gemara. And then we have a period called the Rishonim, which are the earlier sages like Rashi, like Harambam, like Ramban, the Rishonim. And then we have Aharonim, like Maran Bet Yosef, the Ben Ishchai, the Steipler, the people later. Magen Abraham, the Shach, the Taz, many Aharonim, the later generations. There was a rabbi who wrote a book on the Halachot, a commentary on Halachot, and he named the book Baruch She'amar. Now, those of you who pray every day know that the non-talking section of prayer starts at Baruch She'amar. It's a very famous, in fact, it says that Baruch She'amar is Paz Milim, 87 words, and the reason it's such a special prayer is they found a parchment that dropped from heaven, as the story goes, with this beracha written on it. It's a very special beracha. Well, he named this book, and some that say it was on Hilchot Tzitzit, some say it's more about the total laws of Safrut, writing a Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, etc. But this book, Baruch She'amar, was written by a man who, at an early age, lost his father. In fact, his father was lost before he was born. He was born an orphan to the father. And he didn't know anything. And the only thing he knew how to pray was Baruch She'amar. Baruch She'amar. And he used to go to shul every day. And he'd open up the Aron HaKodesh, which is right behind me. And he'd open it up, put his head on the Torah, and start crying as he read the one prayer he knew how to say, Baruch She'amar V'haya Olam Baruchu Baruch Omebos. And he read it over and over and over. Until Hashem gave him the special Siyata Dishmaya, heavenly assistance, till he was able to start learning, and he learned to the point that he is now listed amongst the Rishonim. Rishonim, again, are rabbis of the time of Rashi, Ramban, the earliest sages. Unbelievable. How did he get it? How did he reach that level? He reached that level because he cut everything out. It was his heart, his tears, and his mouth praying directly to God. No go-between. He didn't know a go-between. He didn't know how to communicate with a go-between. But he connected directly. That orphan who knew one prayer, who became a Rishon, could be us. That's our condition. Every suggestion I could give you how to work things out, it's batel. We don't have Urim Petulim, Velo Kohen, Velo Navi. Come back. I hope the Shabbat doesn't come this year, but should it come, listen to the keynote. We have nothing left. We have nothing that we had in Yerushalayim. We have no Mikdash and no Kohen and no Korban and no Urim Petulim and nothing, no Ketoret. We have nothing that Hashem gave us. I forget the number. I didn't research it today, but Chafetz Chaim put out a book, Sefer Mitzvot Ketanot. What is it? The mitzvot I say we have left?
Not 248. Maybe 90. Maybe 78, I don't remember. But all that has to do with korbanot, we don't have anymore. So we are a generation who basically can only say Baruch She'amar. But we can connect to God with that one thing. We can count. Yesh lanu amil lishaen. We can lean on Him. The Rabbeinu Yerucham says, when the Chafetz Chaim died, 1933, he writes in his book, Tat Chochma Musar, Chashavti az, ma yiyeh achshav. He got frightened. What's going to be? We have nothing left. Kol zeman shu chai itanu. All the time he was living with us, min the Chafetz Chaim. Hayinu yecholim liftoach alav. We can count on him. Hu haya yated ne'eman. He was the spike in the ground, the loyal one, that we could count on. Shekol bet yisrael yecholim nishayen alav. Emet ki yatme'ana. Now we're orphans. We have no more Chafetz Chaim. Not only that, he says, all the gedolim of that generation were dying. And he said, we have nobody left. So long as he was still around, although the others had died, I felt we had something. But now that he died, there's no hope. Umide omdi b'machashava zo nihamti. And while I was thinking this thought, I was consoled, says the Mashgiach. Ki en lehit ya'esh. There's no reason to give up hope. Va'im avad tikva, halo habore kayam. I don't have a Chafetz Chaim, but I have my Father in heaven. Yes, everything's gone. But who noten Torah? He's giving the Torah daily, in present tense, like you say in your beracha. Im emet batel, hare bore emet kayam. Even if truth is gone, the God of truth still exists. Umayesh lidog, what's there to worry about? Who? Avinu shebashamayim. He's our God in heaven. Yishe'elana le'ol me'ad. He's going to be ours forever. Uklu machaselan. If we have Him, what are we missing? Imagine how he felt. With all that I mentioned that we don't have tonight, I left out 90% of what we're missing. We, in the days of Ikvida de Mashiach, we're in a special generation of preparation. He's putting us in situations to prepare us. We have to approach Him directly with no in-between, no go-between. I remember, and it's brought up many places that I read about, the feelings we had just about 15 years ago. 15 years ago, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Shtaipler, Hagaon Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanyevsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and the Gaon, the Rosh Yeshiva of Manchester, Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Segal, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The people that the whole world, the whole Torah world, the whole Jewish world turned to with all their problems and all their questions died in a very short time period. Within a few months. That was preparing us. That empty feeling. That empty feeling was a preparation to say, okay, what do I do now? Wait.
rather than get depressed and give up, rather than say we have nothing left, quote the Mishnah. Al mi lishaen al avinu shebashamayim. I went to an Agudat Yisrael of America convention a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And on the Saturday night session, Motzei Shabbat every year, this 4-day convention has a 3-tiered to 4-tiered dais of rabbis, Rosh Yeshivas, heads of communities, and it runs about 100 feet wide. It's maybe 300-400 rabbis. You're looking at it, you can't believe what you're looking at. And you start to spot these faces and you say, wow, I can't believe he's here, look who's here. And I was sitting next to a distinguished rabbi from our own community. And he looked up at the dais, that distinguished dais, and he said, you know something? We don't have any more gedolim. And what he was thinking was, the people I just read you were not there. One or two of the people who were still alive at that time, Rav Gifter, who's now Niftar, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Palm, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, were not present because they didn't feel well that night. And he looked up at what seemed to be a 300 rabbi dais that was empty. Because he was looking for that special something, that high level, and it wasn't there. That's the feeling that the generation had when these greats passed away. And yet, we have all that we need if we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, He gave us them, and they were there for us to use to get closer to God. And they were there for us to use to interpret Hashem's will better, to find out what He wants from us, and to try and behave the way He wants. But if Hashem took them away, it was to prepare us for these days when it's us and Him. And to teach us and to let us know that it's possible to do what that rabbi, the Baruch Shammah that Rishon did. By the way, you think that happened only hundreds of years ago? Well, if he lived 800 years ago, 900 years ago, yeah, things were different then. The Chazon Ish lived through the 1950s. That's 50 years ago. And the Chazon Ish was a Baal Mofet. People took him x-rays. He would tell them the x-rays wrong. And people go back to the doctor and the new x-ray would agree with the rabbi, not with the machine that took the first picture. People would go for medical advice, marriage advice, Torah advice. It's Gedol Hador. Rav Mordechai Schwab says that he heard from one of the members of the family, Rav Shmuel Karlitz, when the Chazon Ish used to learn with his older brother, the Gaon Rabbi Meir Karlitz, when they got to a point where working on a sugya, on a portion of Gemara Halacha, they hit a point that they could not explain, where they got stuck, what do you think they did? Go ask another rabbi, right? They closed the Sifarim, and they stood up and prayed. They prayed to Hashem to help them understand. They understood the Mishnah, when all else fails, dial G-O-D. Give him a call. You never know. He might just answer. Not only the Gedol Hador,
but even you. And that's what we're preparing for. You know, we hear about, you know, when you read biographies, Rabbi Diamond Shalita once said, he doesn't like reading biographies of Gidolim. Because you start to read biographies of Gidolim, the greats of Torah, and you think they were all born child prodigies with special talents. And if you're not born that way, so you're never going to be anything yourself. So why read about it? Because it's fable. The greats worked on themselves. They were like you and I. They have a yetzarah. They had certain strengths and certain... They had a peckle. They came to this world with talents and with weaknesses. Let me tell you something about the Chafetz Chaim you never heard before. When the Chafetz Chaim was young, his father passed away. And his mother, who was poverty-stricken, didn't have enough money to pay for him to have a Rebbe. So, he was required to learn by himself. He knew 50 pages of Gemara clearly, as we say in Torah Talk, Al Buryan. And what did he do? Well, if this is the 50 pages I know, he learned them over and over till he had reviewed those 50 pages, the famous 101 times, to internalize what the Gemara suggests is the minimum amount of times you have to learn something before you know it. So those of you looking for time to review your studies, and you didn't get to the second time yet, boy, are you behind. We got 100 to go if you learned it only once. And by the way, I don't know if the first one counts or if you have to review 101. I don't know if the first one counts or you have to do 101 reviews. But he had nobody, due to his poverty, to teach him another page. And then he got a bright idea. So why don't I try to learn another page by myself? And he sat down. And in the Masechet he was learning, he tried another page. And he did the page once, and he did the page twice, and he did the page three times, and he studied Rashi, until, on his own, so to speak, with his own kohot, his own powers, he was able to learn Torah by himself. Now this is Kasher Lahagid, so I will only quote what Rabbi Schwab wrote, because I can't say it. Lo haya yachol l'mod ba'atzmo. Be'emet lo haya yachol l'mod ba'atzmo. The truth is, the Chafetz Chaim was not able to learn on his own. Ela haya ezer Hashem yitbarach imo b'sha'at limuto. He had the assistance of God to help him learn when he was studying. So my point, my friends, is we have an opportunity in this generation. We have an opportunity to reach out directly to him, because that's what the Mishnah says the people in the generation of Mashiach have to do. En lanu al mi leishaen. All the stuff he gave us to work with has dwindled and disappeared. Do you know what the greats would do? Tell you a couple more stories. Does anybody hear of Goral HaGra? Goral HaGra means the lottery of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, where he gave a secret formula as to how to follow through. You get a Tanakh, you put the Tanakh on the table, you open to a Pasuk, and then you go a certain amount of Pesukim away, and then you go a certain amount of Pesukim back and forth, and whatever the system is, I don't know the formula. And then you end up on a certain Pasuk, and that's the answer to your question. You may understand it, you may not, but the answer to your question is there. The Chidah, also a great from the 1700s, 250 to 300 years ago, also had a certain Goral that rabbis used. And to think this is magic, or wishka, forget it. The greats of Torah recently, not hundreds of years ago, recently have used these goralot.
These are communiques with God. And how did they do it? There's a story of Radin, World War I. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't know what to do. The war is raging. Maybe they're going to come and destroy and wipe out the yeshiva. Maybe the students and families around the yeshiva will die. What should he do? So what did he do? He told his son-in-law, Hagaon of Yitzvi Hirsch Levinson, to do a goral of the gra. And he did. And the pasuk landed out to be, woo! It turned out to be, Vayahatz et ha'am asher ito v'tason v'tabakar v'gimalim l'shnei machanot. When Yaakov Avinu didn't know what to do, because Esav was approaching with 400 men, powerful generals, and who knows what else, to destroy him and kill him maybe. He didn't know what to do. He came up with a plan, split the camp in half. And should he attack one, at least one will escape and will have continuity. So the Chafetz Chaim decided to divide the yeshiva in two. One part of the yeshiva family stayed in Radin and continued learning. And one went somewhere else to hide. His son-in-law, get this, asked him, Rabbi, before you take action, such a drastic measure, would you like me to try again and see what comes up? What did the Chafetz Chaim answer? You want emunah? I'll give you emunah. He told him, don't bother. I don't want to trouble Hashem again. He knew he's talking to Hashem and Hashem's answering him. And if I do another goral, I'm bothering Hashem unnecessarily. He didn't look at it as a lottery. It's all I have left is to talk to Hashem. Everybody knows just a few short miles from here. If you take the back roads, it's 18 minutes by car. Lakewood, New Jersey. Rav Aaron Cutler. He's afraid of Nazi destruction in Europe. What's going to become of the yeshiva of Klotsk? What's going to become of them? Should I go to Eretz Yisrael? Or should I go to America? Which is a better place to go? So what did he do? Goral HaGira. What pasuk came out? Vayomer Hashem el Aharon. Aharon Cutler. Lech likrat Moshe. Moshe Feinstein. Hamidbara, to the desert. America was the biggest desert of Torah knowledge on earth at that time. And so he came to America. Not on a bet. Not on a whim. Because he turned to Hashem. It's the only one he could count on. And Hashem answered him. Rommel is going across North Africa. Looks like he's unstoppable. The British are trying, but they're getting driven back more and more. Now in Israel, in Yerushalayim, they're shaking. The prediction is the Nazi juggernaut will be in Yerushalayim inside of a few days. And who hated Jews more than them? Chamez Ra'ati Alav Shalom, Zecher Sadiq V'Kadosh Lebracha. He has Yeshivat Porat Yosef. Should he stay there and study and subject his students to slaughter? Or should they run and hide? He brings one of the tzaddikim learning in the yeshiva. He tells him, I want you to do Ta'anit Chalom. I want you to do a special communique with God, which is called Ta'anit Chalom. You do a special fast. You go through a special procedure so that Hashem will in a dream reveal the answer to you. And so the question was asked, the student did the Ta'anit Chalom, and the interpretation of the rabbi of the Chalom's dream, the dream was, don't go anywhere. Rommel will be defeated shortly. There's nothing to worry about. He came to the yeshiva in the morning. He told all the students, go back to your books, pay no attention. Rommel will never enter Eretz Yisrael. En lanu amili sha'en. He didn't have Urim Betumim. He didn't have a Kohen to go to with a breastplate. He didn't have a Navi. He couldn't go to Shmuel like Shaul did. He raised him from the dead. Please tell me what's going to be. He didn't have it. All he had was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our tests, my friends, are incredible. Our tests today are much harder than the earlier generations. And in this horrible situation, with a lack of ruchaniyut in the world, a lack of spirit, oh, they're selling spirituality. It's a lot of malarkey what they're selling. They're selling Zohar, and they're selling Buddhism, and they're selling yoga, and they're selling all kinds of isms. It's not spirituality. And it's certainly not Kiddushah. We have to work on ourselves to perfect our deeds. We have to picture for ourselves a potential that we, the observant, we, the Torah studiers, we, the simple people working on developing ourselves and improving ourselves in tiny little ways. Can we compare to the generation of the desert? Can we compare to the people living in the time of Shlomo and the Beit HaMikdash? Can we fast like the people did in the days of Esther and Mordechai? Can we imagine what a Maran Beit Yosef was and what his Torah was? He sat and learned with a Malach one-on-one to help him finish Shulchan Aruch. Could we? No. We're living in a generation of spiritual poverty. And we have to know. This is the greatest generation ever. True, we seem downtrodden. But we have the brightest future of any generation that preceded us. Hashem is preparing us with tests and questions and confusion to see if we have emunah. He's preparing us for the coming of Mashiach. We see all the signs. I see people walking around. These guys on the radios have a thing called crisis obsessed. Everything's a crisis today. Is it the nuclear thing between India and Pakistan that's going to end the world? Is it going to be the terrorist Al-Qaeda that's going to rise up from the ashes of Afghanistan to wreak havoc all over the world? Is it going to be bombs with germs in it from Saddam Hussein? What's going to be with this hotbed, everything surrounding Yerushalayim, just like the prophet said, the last war will be based around Yerushalayim, and that's all the world talks about. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Another bomb, another bus, they're digging on the Har HaBayit, they want this part, we want that part, we're building a fence, we're not building a fence. All the signs of the Mishnah came true. But my message tonight is, Do not fear. Hashem is here. Hashem created these situations. And anybody viewing these situations, things that are so frightening that you can't handle it, it's beyond comprehension, then you must believe that Hashem will give us the Siyata Dishmaya. He gave that rabbi when he stood by the door of the Aron saying Baruch Shamar. That he gave the Chafetz Chaim when he tried for page number 51. That he gave to Rabbi Aaron Cutler when he didn't know whether he should go to Israel or America. Go to Lakewood, see what's going on there. What came of that Goral? That message from God. Said Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Alav Shalom, Zeche Sadik Levracha. And he used to say it often. Just ask an old Jew, and they'll tell you, life ain't so bad right now. All we have to do is turn our eyes directly towards Him and communicate directly with Him, with our tears, with our prayers, with our hearts, and tell Him, we have nobody else, Daddy. It's only you and us, Daddy. That's the secret of this generation. Emunah. Thank you.